Hi, welcome to Mukaddima. My name is Siavish. So recently, Hikmah History and I talked in a live stream in which we talked about a lot of interesting stuff and answered a lot of questions. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, be sure to check out the whole live stream. But there was one topic that I really enjoyed talking about, and it's the kind of thing that I would never make a video on. So I just wanted to share that clip and give you a little bit of context. Before that, I'd like to say that it's alternate history and it's a bit of a touchy topic. It involves religion and religious figures. So it's alternate history, which is already very, very biased. And in this case, it's purely my opinion and you don't have to agree with it. And with that in mind, I'll leave you to the clip.
Well, do you want to touch this? You don't talk pre-661, but the Umayyads, we can just...
No, I don't talk about pre-661 in my videos and my... live streams, we can talk about all of that stuff if you want. Do you think if the Umayyads never came to power, the borders of the Khalifa would be different? Yeah, of course they would. Why wouldn't they? But what would come instead of them?
Well, it depends on which Umayyads you're talking about. If Muawiyah didn't exist...
Oh, yeah. Muawiyah was such an important guy, man.
It's really not going to look good. And I actually, if... In my opinion, and of course, it's alt history, it's my opinion, but I think if Muawiyah didn't exist, then Islam would solely be an Arabic religion. It would probably not break out.
Whoa! Okay. You have to elaborate on that one for me, because that's a wild statement. Muawiyah,
he held the caliphate together, right? You have a caliphate that has just come out of a civil war that started like 30 years after the death of the Prophet. So you have 30 years of stability, and then you have 5 years of a bloody war. Mm-hmm. And then let's say Muawiyah doesn't come to power. What would happen is local lords, especially in Iran, would rise up. Muawiyah, over his 20 years of great reign, in which he kept everything together, he kept everything under control, stabilize the thing. Without him stabilizing the whole thing, and you agree that the caliphate was very, very unstable when Muawiyah came to power, right?
To be honest with you, I think it was unstable throughout all of it. It's like a couple of decades or maybe one good generation here and there where it wasn't unstable, but the whole period was unstable. Dude, yeah. Think about the 680s. Mm-hmm. The second fitna.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Without Muawiyah, you would have the whole thing falling apart. You would have Iran going to local lords. And at that point, I imagine the Turks would attack. And Turks would come sweeping in, like the Seljuks, but like two centuries earlier, they would come sweeping in through Iraq, all the way to Syria. And I imagine that they would have been able to, and on the other side, you would have the Byzantine Empire. So all of the Islam, the progress that Muslims have made, it would go back into Arabia. That's how I imagine it.
I love, because I've never really heard that before. So I like the fact that you're saying it, but I don't know if I agree. I think you're placing far too much emphasis on Muawiyah at the detriment of the infrastructure that was built up. And I know that Muawiyah was a very, very important cornerstone of that stable infrastructure that was built up. But I feel like it's an exaggeration to say that it wouldn't have happened without him. Because think about some of the other governors, the talented people in early Islam, right? Military generals, regional commanders. What about them? What about their role? How was it that prior to Muawiyah, because think about it, right? In 661, I know the Umayyads, they pushed the expansion of Islam to its maximum extent. But even pre-661, in the year 661, the Rashidun Khilafah's map was incredible. Like, it was humongous. By that point, they've conquered all of Iran. They've conquered northern Afghanistan as well. And in the West, they've gone all the way to Libya. Yeah, Libya, Tunisia.
All the way to Tunisia, actually, I think.
No, I think Tunisia was 670. Kairouan? I think it was 670. But yeah, so they're like between Libya and Tunisia. That's quite a lot. And Muawiyah, in that regard, only played a very... No, in the expansion, he didn't really play any role, did he?
Let me talk about that. So we have, first of all, Abu Bakr, the first caliph.
Go on.
He stabilizes the Muslim empire after the death of the Prophet.
With the Ridda wars and all of that, yes. Yeah.
Then we have Umar, who expands the empire.
Yes.
As long as the empire is expanding, there's enough money coming into the capital to keep everyone happy.
Okay.
And Umar was powerful enough that everybody, when he issued a command, everybody just listened. Not always. I mean, with the conquest of Egypt, he was against the conquest of Egypt, but that happened. Then we have Uthman. Uthman was not able to rule, right? Because of how weak the whole caliphate was. You're talking about infrastructure, but there actually was not that much infrastructure to rule.
That's a fair point, but the expansion, but I feel like it still undermines your point, because you're saying that as long as there was expansion happening and money coming into the treasury, then things were going to be okay. But that was exactly what was happening under Umar, Uthman.
Yeah.
Under
Uthman, it had slowed down, you know? People are like, okay, see, this is where religion comes into the whole thing. People don't like Muawiyah. So with Ali, you have with Uthman, you have a man who's trying to rule the empire. There's expansion happening, very slow compared to Umar's reign, but it's still happening, and there's a little bit of money coming in. But you are starting to see the cracks form. You're starting to see that all these people who were working together to fight, they don't like each other, and so there's problems starting to appear. And then you come to Ali's reign, and there's a civil war over Muawiyah, over Uthman's assassination. And you come to begin with Muawiyah's reign. What you have is not a government. What you have is an army. It's being paid by a caliph and a couple of cities all over the empire that are Muslim. You have Kufa, you have Basra, you have Fustat, you have Kairouan, which comes in later. But so you have all these things. If Muawiyah was not a... Muawiyah gave the empire the 20 years of respite, of rest that it needed to actually crystallize into something. Without him, what would have happened is this civil war would have, without a civil war, the caliph's authority would have diminished almost to a point where it doesn't exist anymore.
So what did he, for the people who are watching, that's a very good point, actually. I like that. I want to help you out. For the people who are watching, what exactly did he do within the realm of administration that you keep talking about in terms of the infrastructure crystallizing?
He actually didn't do that much. That's the whole thing. I mean, when he dies, we see another civil war because there was no structure. He did not. He failed to establish a structure. What he did was I think Michael Cooperson puts it really well. He says that he built a house of cards. He stabilized it, but he built it on his palm. And as soon as he died, the whole thing came tumbling down. But Muawiyah's own personality, he knew everyone. He kept everyone in check. He knew all the tribes. He visited everyone. He kept relationships with everyone. He kept the whole thing stable. If you wanted something, Muawiyah talked to you, he fixed the problem. So within those 20 years, the idea of Islam, the idea of this government, it sort of dissipated into the public. The public began to understand that we're under a new ruler, and he's not bad. And Islamic rule is not bad. We start seeing less resistance to Muslim rule.
Can I ask you a question? Can I push back? So, but what about the pre-Muawiyah period where, yes, you would have a khalif that would be based in wherever, Kufa, Medina, wherever it was. But then you would have provincial governors, and those provincial governors would be responsible for making sure that things were okay in their own region, and they would have to send taxes to the imperial khalif's office. Isn't that a very high criteria for having effective administration?
True, but what happens when those generals didn't want to listen to you, the caliph? I mean, that happened with Uthman. People didn't listen to him. That's the exact reason that he resorted to nepotism. He had to put his own cousins and family members in power everywhere so that they would be with him. So they would, and this is, you would, it would seem from an Islamic perspective as a bad thing, but very often we see that if a king is having trouble, he would put his own relatives in positions of power to consolidate power, to have make sure that people... I mean, even with Umar didn't want to invade Egypt, but Umar ibn al-As wanted to, and then he overruled him through the Shura. But with Uthman, the Shura did not actually, you know, it was not as powerful anymore, and people basically did what they wanted. And Uthman, while he ruled with a very light hand, because, I mean, of course, you know, the guy got assassinated and he didn't even have enough people to defend himself in Medina. You know, this was the state of the caliphate. People forget that this was the state of the caliphate when Ali came to power. So Muawiyah, for his 20 years, he crystallized the empire. And then after him, there was a civil war and the whole thing. But without him, I really think that the caliphate would have fallen apart. And there would have been a lot of Muslim lords as well. You know, Basra, Kufa, all of these would have crystallized into smaller empires. But I think, in my opinion, Iran would have come out and Turks would have attacked. That's my opinion.
Of the whole thing. I hear what you're saying, and I can see why you think like that. But I feel like you're giving a little bit undue credit to Muawiyah. You know who I think is probably the most important person in Islam who doesn't get the credit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not the most important person in Islam, but the least credited, the one?
Yeah.
Do you know who it is? You want to take a guess, or you're going to make me talk to myself?